Christian Science has said before is a very interesting one, and so let's review real quick. Christian Science, in the very beginning I mentioned last week, it says Christian Science, Gnosticism repackaged with a question mark. And the reason for that is because of the similarity that there is with or between Christian Science and Gnosticism. Gnosticism teaches a form of knowledge, a higher knowledge, that only those that were kind of initiated into this particular form of belief would understand the tenets or the teachings of Gnosticism. The Gnostics didn't believe that there was sin in the world. They didn't believe that there was things that were wrong. They even didn't even believe in the material world, that everything was pretty much just imaginary or is the figment of someone's imagination. But just by way of remembrance, the founder of Christian Science, of course, was Mary Baker Eddy. She is the founder of this cult. She was actually a Congregational church member. She was born in a church. She was a churchgoer. But somewhere along the way, she lost her way. But that's a picture of Mary Baker Eddy as a younger person. There's another picture there. They say when she was young, she was real sickly. She was a very selfish person, very domineering. Had a very strong personality. And of course, that personality made its entrance into this religion that she started. And so when we think about Christian Science, it's a very interesting one. Now, as stated before, she was from a Congregationalist church, but they say she was frequently ill as a young girl, highly emotional, and also was domineering, quarrelsome, and extremely self-centered. And so that domineering attitude put her, or helped her to have that kind of attitude that she was above everybody else. And so she was dominant, or she tried to be the one that told people what to do. And so these emotional things caused her to, of course, start this. In the way that she was sick, she eventually met Phineas Quimby, who practiced hypnotism. He taught that the mind had the power to heal the body. Depending how your mind was thinking, if you correct your train of thought, then you can bring healing. He also did something in regards to hypnotism. She was something else, but she was married. Her first husband died 7 months later. Then she got married to Daniel Patterson, but that one ended in divorce. And so eventually, while suffering another illness, she met with Phineas Quimby again, who really, really influenced her. Now, this is Phineas Quimby right there. It's another picture of him in his older age. Phineas Quimby was fascinated with the with the thing called hypnotism. And of course, hypnotism isn't always good, right? Hypnotism is when a person teaches a person to totally empty themselves and they're snapped into a state of mind that is actually never good. So he practiced hypnotism, and again, his beliefs were that sickness was the result of negative thoughts. And I was mentioning last week how that there is a portion of truth with some of this. The portion of truth is that negativity, carrying a negative attitude, carrying bitterness, carrying unforgiveness, slandering with their mouths, talking down, never being encouraging, will bring negative things to us. Sickness can be the result of a negative attitude and negative thoughts. But that doesn't mean that when we correct our thinking, we're automatically going to be healed. However, sometimes when we do forgive and we let go of the bitterness, we begin to talk more positively rather than negatively, it does help our bodies. The Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so that means that you and I as Christians, we must understand that our words carry a creative ability. And so we can create an environment by how we talk. Lord willing, here in Center Assembly of God, we're people that are creating a good, positive environment rather than a negative one. But Phineas Quimby was using the element of the mind and hypnotistic practices to try to change the course of people's minds so as to bring healing. And so this Christian Science element that Mary Baker Eddy would become convinced of would be the result of this kind of understanding, that if you bring a positive mindset, you correct your train of thought, then you will be able to bring healing into one's life. Now, just real quick again, in 1866 she fell down, hurt herself pretty bad. She wasn't even expected to recover. And while there she read a scripture, and it was at that point she experienced a miraculous cure, and it convinced her of Christian Science. But you've got to understand, she was being influenced by a teaching already. Now this teaching of Christian Science, or of divine mind, this eternal mind of sorts, began to bring her into a persuasion that it was a correct way of thinking that healed her, and that healing could be given to others if you correct your thoughts. And so she was convinced at that time of the teaching, or that power is released through the teaching of Christian Science. Before we go on, I do want to hand some of these out. Last week I forgot my books, but I actually have two copies of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. These are the Bible of sorts for Christian Science, if you want to see them. I'll hand one on this side, and I'll hand the older copy to this side. But that's Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. That is from where the Christian Scientist actually gets their teaching. I also have a lot of their magazines, if you want to look through some of these. The Christian Science Centennial is a magazine of the Christian Science Church. If you want to look through some of those or flip through some of those, you can. But very interesting stuff. I'm going to keep one of these and read something for you. Listen to this. This has the Our Father according to Christian Science. Most of us know the Lord's Prayer, have it memorized, right? Our Father which art in heaven. But I want to read it to you from Christian Science. You want to hear it? It's actually in that Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures book. It's actually on pages 16 and 17 if you want to compare. A lot of things that I'll bring up here are found right in that book. But it says this, Our Father, which art in heaven, and this is their interpretation. So this is what it normally says. Our Father, which art in heaven, and this is what they say. Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious. Hallowed be thy name, adorable one. Thy kingdom come. It says, thy kingdom come, thou art ever present. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And love is reflected in love. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And God leads us not into temptation, but delivers us from sin, disease, and death. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. And that's the way that they interpret it. Now, these works are pretty much trying to interpret the scriptures to them in a certain particular way. It's very interesting how they take the scriptures and are twisting them for those that adhere to their beliefs. And so I wanted to give some of those books to you so you can check them out while we're going through this. But this correction of erroneous thoughts for them is the reality of it. Now, in 1875 is when she published Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. That is their Bible. That is the particular work of the Christian Scientist that teaches them the truth of Christian Science. Now, she claimed that it was the final revelation of God to mankind and asserted that it was inspired of God. I mean, she claims that she was even the woman of Revelation chapter 22, or Revelation 12, I'm sorry. Now, in 1877, she married Asa Eddy, and that's from where she gets her last name. Now, the other ones, you know, the first one died, the second one ended up in divorce. She eventually married Asa Eddy. In the first 4 years, Science and Health, eventually, and some of her students formed the actual church of Christ Scientist in Boston, Massachusetts. And of course, like all cults, she claimed that it was the restoration of the original New Testament church. Now, what's interesting about that is that they always claim it's the restoration of the New Testament church, when all we have to do is go up to the book of Acts and we'll find out what the New Testament church was really like. It wasn't nowhere near what Mary Baker Eddy was trying to bring out in that particular day. In 1881, as she continued her teaching and doing her thing, she opened a metaphysical college, and she charged $300 for 12 healing lessons. And as we said last time, in 1895, or actually 1881, $300 was a lot of money. And so, if for those 12 healing lessons, she would get $300, and of course, eventually, as we stated last time, it would make her a millionaire by the time that she died in 1910. Metaphysical is more something in regards to, it's beyond the physical realm, more into the arena of the mind, metaphysical. And so it was more of a training center for teaching the Christian Science, or the principles of Christian Science that affected the mind, this higher knowledge that is similar to Gnosticism, metaphysical. Okay, and so there's a picture of Mary Baker Eddy and supposedly the healing that would take place. Let me say something real quick. We didn't even mention it last time, but let me say it here. Satan is a deceiver. And there are times when Satan will use what is a seeming healing to deceive people. Now, what do you mean, Pastor James? How does that happen? I mean, is he making people feel better? Not necessarily. He's just kind of releasing a person from where he had them bound. You kind of get what we're saying here? He already had them sick, so he's just letting them go to seemingly be healed. But it's meant to deceive. There was a witch doctor, listen to this, in Mexico. This was back in the 80s. And she was a witch that practiced her witchcraft there in Mexico. And what she was used for was to practice her witchcraft on people there in Mexico. People would come to this particular place, and she would do her witchcraft to bring healing to people. And she did it for years. And eventually this woman was eventually confronted with the reality that there was a power higher than that of the occult, than that of Satanism, of witchcraft, and it was the power of God. And this woman was eventually saved and brought out from that. And she was born again and came out from that. And so she would bring up the reality of how sometimes Satan would use this so as to deceive and bring and lure people into a form of belief that was meant to deceive them and ultimately captivate them into a very wrong way of life. See, there's a lot of people that are sick in this world, aren't there? And there's some people that will pay big sums of money to be healed. And a lot of them, rather than just getting their hearts right with God and believing God for healing or what have you, will try to find other ways. And sometimes they'll try to do it through means like this, and people paid a lot of money for it. And so, very interesting anyways, okay? The church was reorganized in 1892. They eventually brought their church manual. In 1910, she passed away, which was, about 15 years later. She died a millionaire, and no wonder, because she was charging so much for these healing lessons. They say that at that time of her death, there was 100,000 members, and she was a multimillionaire. Science and Health was translated and distributed to 17 different languages, and so on and so forth. You know, eventually in 1950, they say that the membership began to level. And then, since then, the membership of the Christian Science Church has begun to decline. And so, it's very interesting how this is not really, really very strong cult today, but there's still the Christian Science presence around us even today. Now, is Christian Science Christian? Of all the biblically based cults in America, Christian Science is one of the most interesting. Now, it not only denies the essential doctrines of Christianity, but it completely reinterprets them. It totally brings out a lot of elements that are totally against the Bible that we believe in. They reinterpret, they redefine a lot of the terms that you and I believe in. Science and health, with Key to the Scriptures, being the source guide of it, is so different from the Bible that it's totally wrong. So is it Christian or not? Of course it isn't. Okay, it's definitely not Christian. It could claim to be Christian Science, but it isn't. And excuse me for kind of rushing through this part. Again, we went through it a little bit last time. Now, again, is it Christian? Well, Science and Health totally reinterprets the Bible. It denies that Jesus is even God. And when we mess up on who Jesus Christ is, we're messed up all the way through. In the similar way, the Mormons are believing in another Jesus. It's not the same Jesus from the Bible. The Jehovah's Witnesses themselves deny Jesus and say he isn't even divine. Just like the Christian Scientists, they are totally, totally erroneous in what they believe. And so, to the Christian Scientist, God is the Father-Mother. It's a principle. He's not a person holding a personality. He is known as Divine Mind. And I emphasized this last time in how they describe God. They say it has no personhood or person or no personality. And so for them, God or God the Father-Mother is really a principle, a way of thought. And that principle of divine mind is actually something that they claim all of us are a part of. And so they say God is all and all is God. You and I potentially have the fingerprint of God, the breath of God within us. We are a part of God, according to the Christian Scientist. They say that Jesus is a way shower. He was one that showed a Christ consciousness. But they say he wasn't God in the flesh, and they say that his atoning death really didn't mean anything for us as Christians. They say that man doesn't have a sinful nature and is a reflection of divine mind. The Christian Scientist considers their philosophy to be consistent with the original teachings of Jesus. They consider truth a matter of higher understanding and learning, like the Gnostics and so on and so forth. And so that's where we were last time. I think we stopped right there. And so Roman numeral 3 in the notes. What does Christian Science teach? What is it that they teach? And how is it brought out according to their teachings? If you have one of the books, Christian Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, you can see a lot of this. You can go right to the page numbers and find these doctrines right there. Now, the following doctrines that we're going to go through are referred or referenced right out of their work, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Now, let me just bring a distinguishing real quick. Christian Science is not Scientology. How many of you have heard of Scientology? Scientology is the religion of the Hollywood actors. It's the religion of the superstar. People like, what's his name? Tom Cruise, exactly. He is the evangelist. They call him an evangelist of Scientology. He promotes it. He pushes it upon a lot of these actors there in Hollywood. Scientology is not Christian Science. There are maybe a tidbit of similarity, but it's actually unique. Scientology was actually founded by a man back in the 50s and 60s. And he actually began to go into the arena of tapping into the waves that the body gives. They tap into machines, and there's what's known as engrams and all these kinds of weird things. And so it's unique compared to Christian Science. So they're not the same, even though there may be a small hint of similarity. Did you all get that? So Scientology isn't Christian Science. Christian Science isn't Scientology. Although, like all the cults, there may be some similarities because of the handprint or the birthmarks of where they come from. Birthmarks mean it comes from the devil himself. And because it comes from him, there's some similarities in all the cults that you begin to glean and see as we go through them. Now, it's supposed to be a companion to the Bible, talking about science and health with the key to the Scripture. Science and health together with the Bible, they are called the pastor of Christian Science. And so a pastor in the Christian Science realm is not a person like me being a pastor here in Center Assembly. I'm a literal person, a literal man called a pastor. Amen? For them, Science and Health, the book that's going around along with the Bible, Science and Health, interpreting the Bible for the Christian Scientist, that is called the pastor. Okay? So it's not a person. Now, let's look at these doctrines. Number one is they say God is infinite and that there is no other power or source. In other words, everything is of God. Now, the Bible does say all things, or it says nothing made that was made was not created without God. God gives everything sustenance and life. In Him we live, move, and have our being. I mean, it's true to a point. But they will go into the point of saying everything is all God, where the reality is that evil is not from God. Did you all get that? Sometimes someone will say, well, then why evil? If God, why evil? There's a excellent audio clip from a well-known doctor of theology that brought out that question, if God, why evil? I mean, if God is so perfect, why does He allow evil to exist? Did God create evil? And the reality is that God, when He created this world and the universe and ultimately you and me, in order for Him to give us free will, there had to be the potential for good and evil. Now, the reality of evil doesn't have to be, but man chose evil. Do y'all get that? The potential was there, but it wasn't that God created it. For instance, you don't know love until there's hate. You really don't know hate unless it's contrasted with love. Human free will gives the ability to choose between right and wrong. And so the propensity, the reality of choice had to be there, but that didn't have to be, but man allowed this to come into being because of his own choice. Man disobeyed God. And so, if you ever get a chance to hear it, maybe I'll post it online one day for you to listen to that audio clip if you want to get into a deep theological frame of mind and listen to some deep theology. It's called If God, Why Evil by Norman Geisler. Norman Geisler, I think, is his name. Anyways, let's go forward to number two. They say God is universal principle. Now remember, for them, God is the father, mother, or a principle. And so God is universal principle. That's in Science and Health 331, 18 through 19. Number three, they say God cannot indwell a person. God can't come into one's heart. You and I, as evangelical Christians, we believe in the preaching of the gospel and people can receive Jesus Christ as one's Lord and Savior. And the Scripture teaches that Jesus can come in. The Bible says in Revelation, He stands at the door and knock. If any man open that door, He will come into him and sup with him and he with me. And so the teaching of Scripture, of course, teaches otherwise, but they say God cannot indwell a person. Number four, they say God is the only intelligence in the universe, including man. And so whatever intelligence you and I have, it's God. It's not really your own, it's all God. Again, as we said before, this cult will ultimately teach all is God and God is all. And it's, of course, totally unbiblical. They say that God is mind. God is mind. Whatever's there, intelligence-wise, whatever's of the mind is actually there. God is mind. That's in Science and Health, page 330, verses 20 through 21, and 469-13. Number six, they say God is the Father-Mother. God is the Father-Mother. And ultimately says that it's only principle, and God is an it. As in a person, has no personality, has no personhood and what have you. They say the Trinity, which you and I know as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is life, truth, and love. That's Trinity for the Christian Scientist. Imagine that. You and I know very well it's God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even though that word Trinity does not, or is not in our Bibles, it's not in the scriptural text, the teaching is. We find the threeness of God throughout the New Testament and referred to in the Old. And so the Trinity is God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. However, for them, it's just life, truth, and love. A belief for them in a traditional doctrine of the Trinity is polytheism. Polytheism is the teaching of many gods. Poly meaning many, theism meaning God. Polytheism is the belief in many or a plurality of gods. And so they pretty much are believing along with the Jehovah's Witnesses that the teaching of the Trinity is polytheism. Now, listen to this. There's no doubt that the teaching of the Trinity and our understanding of the Trinity is limited. You and I don't have a complete grasp on the unity of God. I mean, the Godhead is complex compared to you and me. God is God. We are human and finite. God is infinite. And so there's a limitation to our understanding that we'll never be able to overcome until we're with Him and in glorified bodies. But until then, we are not going to fully comprehend the reality of God, the unity of God, the threeness of God, you know, that there is unity yet diversity in the complexity of the community of the Trinity, as Dr. Robbie Zacharias brings out quite a bit. Did you all hear that? There is unity and diversity in the community of the Trinity. It's amazing when we begin to just delve into just a theological understanding of the Trinity itself. But there's going to be a limit. We're not going to have a full grasp. But because they didn't fully grasp it, they would say it's polytheism, which is just an easy way to try to get rid of trying to understand God. Okay. Number 9. They say Christ is the spiritual idea of sonship. Just an idea. They say that Jesus brought forth a Christ consciousness, a way of mind, a train of thought, where they're totally misapplying what Christ even means. Christ in the New Testament means anointed one. That Jesus Christ is the anointed one, the Messiah, the deliverer of Israel and ultimately of you and me from our sin. He's our deliverer, amen? He's the anointed one, the Christ. But for them, they say it's just an idea, which is pretty much way out there. Now, they say that Jesus was not the Christ. That he was not the Christ. Now, like I said before, they say that Jesus eventually came to the place of attaining a Christ consciousness, but wasn't the Christ. 11, they say Jesus is not God, as Jesus himself declared. That Jesus is not God, and they say that he declared that. 13, listen to this one. They say Jesus didn't die. Jesus didn't die. The Gnostics teach the same. They say that whatever was there that appeared to be Jesus Christ on the earth was only a ghost, a spirit, but not truly God in the flesh. When you read 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, you've got to understand that John was confronting the element of Gnosticism. Remember it says, he that denies Jesus Christ and the Father, or Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is not of God and is of the Antichrist, really. And so they were ultimately very similar to what this is. Okay. I think it's 12, right? 13. They say Jesus did not die. 14. They say the Holy Spirit is divine science. Again, no personality. Divine science. Ultimately, their understanding of Christian science is Holy Spirit. It's not a person. 15. They say there is no devil. There's no devil. It's just bad thinking. Just bad thoughts. There is no devil. That's just bad thinking. 16, very similar to that, is that there is no sin. Because there's no sin, well, you don't need a redeemer. There's no sin, you're not going to hell. Ultimately, all that is just the figment of someone's imagination. There's no sin. 17, they say evil and good are not real. It's just the figment of an imagination. If there seems to be evil, you got to get rid of that negative thought and start thinking right. But even good in and of itself isn't there. It's just all imaginary. They live in a made-up world. I mentioned last time how there was there is a minister. His name is Pastor Nick Cassidy. He's actually the pastor of Cork Church. It's an Assembly of God church there in Cork City, Ireland. Pastor Adam is actually his nephew. Pastor Nick Cassidy. Anyways, Nick Cassidy's dad, Pastor Nick Cassidy's dad was at one time searching. He was born and raised a Catholic there in Ireland. Catholicism is huge there. Anyways, raised a Catholic, began to have his doubts on Catholicism, and began to be persuaded by some into Christian Science. And he was there at a meeting, and there in the meeting they were saying nothing exists. Good, bad, matter doesn't exist. I mean, the pew that you're sitting on isn't really there, it's just an imaginary thought. And so, well, he was there, as I mentioned the last time, and I know it's kind of crazy, but it's true. He gave this testimony there at the school. While sitting there in the group and listening to this person saying nothing is real, a person that was there sitting next to him passed gas. You know, it's just the way it is. And he says that all of a sudden he began to smell it, and he says, "I'm sorry, but that's for real. That wasn't imaginary." He said, "That really happened, and I can't handle it." So he got up and left, and that turned him off for Christian Science. So he left Christian Science just at the reality of what he had just smelt. And so they say nothing is real, even evil and good isn't there. It's just the figment of someone's imagination. They say matter, sin, and sickness are not real. It's all illusions. So if someone is sick, they're taught it's not really there. And it's really sad that it's there. I mentioned the last time how that there has been phases that the church has gone through, especially Pentecostals, and sometimes the Pentecostals have gone through phases saying you gotta deny the reality of sickness in your body, and you gotta claim positive and don't admit to reality. And so gotta be careful with this. They say life is not material or organic. Again, it's all divine mind. It's all a train of thought. They say the sacrifice of Jesus was not sufficient to cleanse from sin. And then last but not least, they say true healings are the result of true belief. True healings, the result of true belief. So a lot of it is divine, or it's actually divine mind. It's all in the mind. Again, healing can come about by correcting wrong thoughts and attitudes. And so Christian Science is the science of the mind. And in reality, it's not a true science. I mentioned the last time that Christian Science, first of all, isn't Christian. Second of all, it's not even science. Okay, but they claim both. And so additionally, listen to this. Going the wrong way. Additionally, the Christian Scientist, they prefer not to use doctors, medicine, or immunizations. Why should they? I mean, it's all not real, right? So they don't use doctors, medicine, or immunizations. Now, you do have some people around that don't do that even nowadays, huh? You have some even inside the church. Sometimes you got some that say, "Oh, no, we don't do that." They're at the Bible school. We'd always have a handful of people. We always required that they had their immunizations to come into the school. But there was always a handful of people that would say, "We don't immunize. We don't believe in it. There's a conspiracy with the government, and they're trying to kill us all." And so, you know, they believe it. Yes, we finally let them in because ultimately we're not teaching them about immunizations. We're teaching them about Jesus. But we don't need to be afraid of those things. Now, sometimes some people have reacted to immunizations and some have died. It does happen. But it's just like any other thing. You know, there's allergic reactions and what have you, and you can't necessarily do it all to perfection. But they're on the extreme where they don't like doctors, medicine, immunizations, because it's really all bad thinking. Okay? They say proper prayer and training are employed to battle the non-reality of illness. And so they've got to be trained, they've got to be lured, they've got to be convinced of the non-reality of illness. Until if you believe it's real, then you're going to have it. If you begin to come to the place of not believing it, then you'll get rid of it, but ultimately it's off the wall now. They have no ordinances like the Lord's Supper or baptism, which we employ as evangelical Christians. Those of us that are in the Pentecostal persuasion, believing the Bible to be true, we believe in the Lord's Supper and baptism as ordinances. They don't. Church services are interdispersed with Bible reading and readings from Science and Health. You can see that in those magazines. You can see that in the way that they say that Science and Health, along with the Bible, is pastor. Now, they say that Mary Baker Eddy is highly regarded as the revelator of God's Word and almost equal to Jesus. And so they pretty much hold her very high, in very high esteem. And it's pretty interesting. Now, Roman numeral 4 in the notes, I filled in for you because it's a continuation of other things and up to 31 points. Those 31 points bring out some of those realities. And we're not going to read each one just because we don't want to belabor their views. But just starting with number 1, let's look at some of those. They say angels are God's thoughts passing to men, an inspiration of goodness or purity that counters evil and material reality. And so again, it's really thoughts, God's thoughts, but they're saying anything spiritual, anything supernatural is really not there. Angels have no spiritual body. They're not true spiritual beings. They say it's just thoughts. Number 2, atonement is not the shedding of Christ's blood, but at-one-ment, lifting the whole man into Christ consciousness. At-one-ment. 3, baptism means the daily ongoing purification of thought and deed. That's baptism. It's not getting dunked in the water and the water representing the fact that a person is dead to sin, died in Christ, has resurrected, and now raised to newness of life. For them, it's just purification of thought. They say body, number 5, is the form of expression of both spirit and soul. It's the apparent materialization of the limits of soul is influenced by a person's consciousness development in Christian Science principles. Again, Christ, number 6, they say, is a divine idea man. The divine idea man. Creation, they say, is the product of divine mind. In other words, the reality of what you see is really a product of the divine mind. It's not really there. You're just seeing through the mind of the divinity. Death, number 8, an illusion, the lie of life in matter. Number 9, devil is evil, a lie, error. It's not an entity, not a person, has no existence. There is no devil. Evil spirits. Number 10, false beliefs. It's a total reinterpretation, right? Total reinterpretation of what you and I believe. Flesh is an error of physical belief. Gods, number 12, a belief that life, substance, and intelligence are both mental and material. A supposition of sentient physicality. God is spirit who is ever present, all knowing, all powerful and good. God is the Father, Mother, God. Other names for God are divine mind, soul, principle, life, truth, love. That's their trinity. To the Christian scientist, God is the governing principle of the universe. Again, hell there, number 16. It's a state of mind that include the effects of their improper understanding of the divine mind, Christian Science principles. 17, we already said this. Holy Spirit is divine science. It's ultimately the teaching of Christian Science. 18, Jesus' stripes, when Jesus was whipped and the stripes were there on his body, is simply his rejection of error, not beating or that he received in the flesh. He rejected error. That's the stripes. How do you get blood out of the rejection of error? You guys know what I mean? And so there's a rejection of reality. Pastor, look at 22 again, is the combined books of the Bible in Science and Health with key to the scriptures. prayer is contemplation and internalization of divine truths, number 24. 27, sickness is the false understanding given the appearance of reality by the unfaithful and ignorant of divine principle and mind. Sin, 28, is not understanding and behaving according to the divine law of God and the law of our being. Look at 31, wrath is really the working out of the law of God's being upon a person. It's not God's judgment upon a sinner. And so the Christian Scientist and the teaching of Christian Science is totally and completely a reinterpretation of what you and I believe is biblical and is sound in regards to theology. We read our Bibles, thank God. Thank God that He's given us the freedom, the ability to understand and read our Bibles. And that's why it's so important for us to read the Bible and understand what the Bible is saying. In reality, it's why it's so important for us in church to have good teaching, good classes, so as to understand the Word of God more and more. Because when there are people out there who are seeking, they're looking for truth, and some of them are confronted with foolishness like this. They're told that these things are reality, and yet the reality that they're being shown is really a non-reality. And many people are lured into foolishness just like this. And so, you and I must know the Bible. We must know the truth of God's Word, because think about if someone came to you and was from this Christian Science mentality, and they begin to say, you know, spending time with the Trinity, and you don't realize, or sometimes we don't realize, they're thinking of things totally differently than what we are. And so it's good to kind of have an understanding of where they're coming from, so that when we are talking to them, so that we can begin to help them to come out of those things and understand the truth. Amen? You know, I think one of the most powerful things is really to get the people to read the Bible and understand it for what it says. Think about it. If you would get a Roman Catholic just to read the Bible and just question what they're being taught in Roman Catholicism, they would begin to come to the knowledge of the truth just from the Word of God. That's why it's so powerful. If you get the Mormon to read the Bible and believe what the Bible says and compare it with what they're reading in their Book of Mormon, or even the Jehovah's Witness to read the Bible for themselves and not lean on the Jehovah's Witness organization to do the teaching for them, they would come to the truth. And that's why the Word of God has stood the test of time. Isn't that true? I remember there was a testimony of a man who was coming out of Islam. He was actually being paid by those in Islam to disprove the Bible. And before he began to even disprove it, they gave him a copy of the Bible, and he said, I don't want to do this. Don't give me that Bible. I've heard about what happens to people when they read the Bible. They said it's filled with spells or things that change people. And so he was afraid of the Bible, but ultimately, they made him do it because they had to submit to their leaders. And so he began to compare the Bible and try to disprove the Bible and prove that Jesus was mentioned in the, that there were certain things mentioned in the Quran that the Bible didn't say, and vice versa. And he began to write a thesis paper comparing the Bible against the Quran. And as he was studying and as he was doing this thing, he began to be convinced of how true the Bible was and how wrong the Quran itself was. And ultimately, he came to the point where he began to be convinced that the Bible was true and that the God of Christianity was true and the God of Islam was wrong. He was even bringing out the point how that the God of Islam and the God of the Bible do not agree. They're opposed to each other. So there's no way you can have unison. They're opposed to each other. Carson, the one that's running for presidency right now, the one that did the gifted hands, Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson. He was, if you guys ever get a chance to watch his movie, Gifted Hands, it's an excellent movie. Gifted Hands. Anybody ever seen that movie? Excellent. Check it out. If you have Netflix, it's called Gifted Hands. Excellent. Gifted Hands. It's just how he was used in the medical field to really, it's interesting, his story. Anyways, just recently he made a statement about Islam, how that there could never be a true president in the United States of an Islamic background because of how Islam is contradictory to our Constitution, just because of its how it's opposed to the truth of the Constitution. What am I saying? Well, the truth of the Constitution comes from a biblical understanding. Our foundation here in America comes from a biblical understanding. Islam is opposed directly to that. Now, this guy that was writing this book, or writing this work to try to disprove the Bible, was convinced of its truth, and eventually, in his confusion and in his understanding, he began to cry out to God. He said, God, if you're the God of the Muslims, then show me. Or if God, you're the God of the Christians, then show me. And he came to a place of desperation. God, reveal yourself to me. And God revealed himself to him in a dream. And it was, he saw in the dream, he saw Jesus. And he told him about the book. Keep reading the book, the Bible. And he became a believer. And he had the Word of God, and he began to take it with him. And he lost it one time. He lost it. And he was all sad because, oh no, what happened to my Bible? Somebody stole his briefcase, his Bible was in it, and it was gone. And in that vision, when he saw that, he said, look in your cupboard. And the next day when he woke up and was convinced of the reality of Christ, he said, look in the cupboard. And there was the Bible laying in the cupboard. A miracle in that God provided the Word of God back to him again. What am I saying? What I'm saying is how important it is for you and I to spend time in God's Word, to be students of God's Word. You know, it's not so much to always listen to Pastor James and what he has to say about it, but that we become students of God's Word, reading it, taking on a Bible reading plan to read through it as much as we can. There's times when you read God's Word and it seems like it's not feeding you at all. You ever been there? Sometimes it seems like you're not getting anything out, not no divine revelation. It doesn't seem like anything's happening. But there is something happening in your spirit, man. You're feeding your spirit. It's food for our soul. And it's very important for us to get into God's Word. And when we're in God's Word, we'll be able to discern from these kinds of cults and discern in regards to what people are understanding as opposed to the truth of God. And so, very interesting. Anyways, any questions, comments in regards to Christian Science?
Mm-hmm. There's a little part in there where it talks about Gnosticism.
Oh, yeah.
After when they were practicing that, the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
The Israelites.
Yep.
I don't know. Is that something in there about, like, it's kind of like a manipulation. Like, if all of this is done through the mind,
mm-hmm.
then they can manipulate the God that they're serving.
Yeah.
It's all a manipulation.
Yeah.
And the God that we serve cannot be manipulated.
Yeah.
That's why he's a... It was just saying something like that, so it just reminded me of what I read in that book.
Yeah, yeah.
This is all manipulation.
Oh, yeah.
Mind control.
Mm-hmm.
Those types of things.
Yeah.
God can't manipulate our God.
Exactly, yeah. You know, and the sad thing with a lot of those teachings, like I mentioned in the beginning of the cults class that we've been having, is how that there's a spirit behind these beliefs, all these cults, Gnosticism. You know, there's a manipulation into the reality of this mindset. There's also a spirit that is convincing the mind, ultimately trying to blind the eyes of the people to the truth. There's a captivation that is taking place to lure people away from the truth, ultimately with the intention of damning a person's soul. That's why the Bible says that these are damnable doctrines. Doctrines of devils. Doctrines of demons. Because of the spirit behind it. And the intent of these false teachings, be it Gnosticism from the beginning or even Christian Science, you know, at the latter 1800s, the reality is that Satan has an intent to blind the eyes and hearts of men so as to captivate them and keep them away from God for all eternity, ultimately. And so, thank God for the truth. Amen.
Amen.
And for His Word. Any other questions, comments? I think the next one we're going to get into is the New Age. The New Age. The New Age is a very interesting one. There's no doubt about it, because of the reality of what it contains. It'll bring out some of the things that we've even probably seen. There's been people, you know, around us that are involved in the New Age. Their teaching, their manner of life, what they do. And when we think about the New Age, you'll see how demonic this one really is. The luring, the captivation of the mind, the place where people come into a turning away from God. But the captivation that takes place is really demonic. The reality of Eastern meditation, a lot of the things that are there in our world today, within regards to Hinduism, the Hinduistic Eastern practices come right in to this New Age movement. The New Age movement is, again, a consciousness, it's a mindset, but it's also something where there's the emptying out of oneself and the entering in of spirit guides and demons, ultimately. And so we'll get into some of that next time and hopefully bring some understanding to what the New Age movement is and ultimately what the intention of the New Age movement is as well, what they want to do, where they're wanting to go. It's really all about me, myself, and I. It's ultimately about us becoming the gods of our own life and rejecting God being the God of our lives. And so we'll get into that next time, the New Age movement, okay?